Amen. Good morning. Love those worship times. Amazing what the peace of God does in a person's heart, isn't it? Just fills every crack, every crevice, and just ministers to all of our deepest needs. That's a handout. Not necessarily something we're going to go over today, but something for you to take with you that might be a blessing for you sometime in the future. Just make sure everybody gets one. I think there should be enough. Okay, yesterday I tried to encourage you towards marriage. Today I just want to share some advice with you on courtship. There's different things we want to look at and hopefully be encouragement to you. As a pastor, one of the most delightful things about being a pastor, there are some things about being a pastor some days you wish, you know, why do I have to do this? But this whole thing of marriage and courtship and young people in general, really, are a tremendous encouragement to me as a pastor. But I really enjoy watching young people get together, watching them get married, and just the watching the joy and the excitement in their faces, in their lives, as they do that is one of the most delightful things to me. I just love it. I love this subject. And so I'm excited today to share with you. So let's say you get to the place where you believe God has marriage for you. You're at this place and you met somebody that you think maybe would be a good companion for you. There's someone in your mind. And so now you're at that place and you're like, now what? And I'd just like to walk through it, just giving you advice and suggestions. I'm open to your input. I want to restate what I said yesterday. I'm not one who believes that courtships all go along one certain little mold. I've seen too much to believe that. I've seen wonderful outcomes out of very complicated courtships. And, you know, there's just so many variables because we as human beings are complicated and we have our different personalities. And God enjoys it that way. So the first thing I'd like to encourage you to do, number one, I think I'm getting to this point, there's this person in my mind. First thing I want to emphasize to you is that you need to learn to pray. Before you do anything else, learn to pray. Pray a lot about this thing. If you're getting to the point where you really seriously need to make a decision, take 3 days, go far away from everyone, and just seek the Lord specifically focused about this subject, about this person, about your life. And God will honor that. One thing that Brother Emmanuel shared many years ago about fasting that has just really clicked with me and helped me so much in fasting is to not go into this 3-day period expecting to walk out of that 3-day period with every question you had totally answered black and white. But rather go into it and just spend time with the Lord and pour out your heart to the Lord and then go back to your normal life in faith, watching God work out the details. And I have seen that work so often. It works so well that way. And God will honor you for doing that. Sharing your heart to God, saying, God, I want this. Just telling Him exactly how you feel. God, this person, I admire this person. Should we get married? And just tell Him exactly how you feel. Asking God, what do you think, God? And use this time as a time to draw very close to God. And you don't want to go into courtship half-cocked spiritually. That is a bad idea. You want to be really in tune with God, walking with the Lord. God wants you to do the choosing, and I want to emphasize that. The choice is going to be yours. You're going to have to, at some point in approaching a girl, you're going to have to make a decision. Am I going to move ahead with this or am I not? And that choice is yours. God wants you to make that choice. The same is true for you ladies. You know, you're confronted with this possibility and you pray and you seek God and you examine it and all of these things. But at some point, you're going to have to decide, okay, am I going to go into this and see if it works or am I not? And I want to emphasize that the choice is going to be yours. Don't expect God to push you, to force you, to speak to you in an audible voice. He might, but just realize that He wants you to make this choice. He wants you to do this seeking, but He wants to be with you in it. He doesn't want to do it for you, but He wants to be with you in it. And you might end up really needing Him. So as you go into this thing, go in it with God. Be walking with God. Be praying. Be in tune with Him. I have seen the godliest courtships get so complicated sometimes. There's things that come up and all of a sudden, and there's no proof that the people are not spiritual. I don't view complicated courtships that way. The most godly courtships can be complicated. And you want God in it. Men, before you knock on her heart's door, knock on His. Ladies, that's God's. Ladies, before you let Him in to your life, let Him in. Make sure there's no question about that. It's settled. And you keep God with you as a permanent counselor all through this courtship. So, you do that, and now who initiates? Who should make the first move in a courtship? What do you think? Go ahead. The guy? Always? Every time? Are you sure? I think it's ideal. But I do think there might be some exceptions. I don't know. But I want you to think about some things, ladies. And men. Ladies, do you want to spend the rest of your life prodding and encouraging and trying to get your husband to get a move on? Is that the way you really want to live? Well, like I said, I think there might be exceptions where family can do some contacting and that type of thing. But it is ideal to let the man initiate this thing. To let him be the man and initiate this thing. Because you don't want to start a habit for your marriage. You don't want to end up with an insecure man who really can never get up the courage to go and initiate something. I've seen strong leader type men need a bit of help from family, friends, to get their noses pointed the right direction. I've seen that. It doesn't mean they're weak. They turn out to be very good, strong leaders. It's just that they're not seeing something. Okay? And I've seen where once they get their noses kind of pointed the right direction, it goes well. So I'm not saying sometimes it's not okay to do some of that. Especially some help from people who know us very well. You know, who they know us inside and out, and they just know there's this person that would be really good for this young man. That can be a blessing to do that. And I know there's some young men that I know that are happily married today and very thankful that that happened. But, ladies, if you're not careful in this area, if you do the initiating and you're not careful in this area, you could end up with a weak, insecure man by initiating it when really you should be waiting until he does it. So just a couple of words of advice on that. Before you ask, before you actually go and ask, or before you actually say yes, you should have a reasonable level of peace from God, a reasonable level of clarity. It's important to know the peace of God in your life, to be familiar with it. And the peace of God should be ruling your life in this area. It doesn't mean you don't need to have every question answered. You don't wait until you're absolutely sure that this is totally going to work. Don't do that. That's a big mistake. But you do need to have a reasonable level of peace. You know, there's not big red flags and people that know you well, your parents say, this is a no-go. You know, don't barge through those doors, but have a reasonable level of peace before you ask or before you agree to start a relationship. I want to address you men a little bit. Sometimes we... I'm trying to figure out how to say this. Jesus is a good example for us in starting a relationship, in winning someone's love. If you look at Jesus' life, isn't it true that he invested everything and he offered everything before he had any guarantee of any return? Is that not true? And the Bible says we love him because he first loved us. And that shows us, that gives us a clue about love. There's something very winning about that radical kind of love that is willing to go out on a limb without a guarantee of return. Are you with me, man? There's something very winning about that. Now, I'm not saying that you have to be investing everything and you know, I'm not saying you have to do it at that level to begin a courtship. You know, there you can start a courtship with a few reservations, a few questions, a few hesitations. That's okay. But the principle is what I want you to see. A young man who is not willing to go out on a limb for love and risk things for love is not worthy of your love, ladies. If he has to have some kind of a guarantee from you that you're going to love him and you're going to go with him before he's willing to make himself vulnerable, that's a real indication of a very great weakness in his character. So just beware of that. I'm not saying, guys, that you can't have some idea that this would work or that it's even wrong to try to get some kind of idea, but there's real limits on that one. There's real limits on that one, because if you start a relationship and start drawing a girl's heart and emotions before you're willing to commit to it, that's a big mistake. That's a big mistake. You should be willing to initiate and to go out on a limb for love. By the way, this pattern of love from the man's side, just being willing to invest all and give all, 100% without, before the return comes, is a pattern that needs to continue in a happy marriage. Marriage works that way. Marriage does not work 50-50. Marriage is not a 50-50 arrangement. Love doesn't work that way. You will not have a happy marriage if you give a little and then wait till she responds and then you'll be willing to give a little more. That doesn't work. Okay, so just settled in your mind, this is a pattern of love that I give, I risk all, I just give all, and whatever she gives in return is her problem. So watch for this, ladies. You can learn a lot about a young man in the way he initially approaches you. You can learn so much about his character if you kind of watch for these types of things. Okay, number four, going on to another point. The Bible indicates in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, I believe it is, verse 37 and 38, that a believing father, a Christian father of a young virgin, has a role in this process somewhere. That he has an authority, that he has a right to say yes or no to this somehow. And ladies, I want to encourage you to use this God-given protection for you very well. Use this cover well in this stage of the process. It's okay to make the guy jump through a couple of hoops while you peek at him from a safe distance. That's okay. That's what this is for. And I think as we go on, I want to explain a little bit how this works. It actually works very well if there's wisdom from the father and wisdom from the guy and wisdom from you. It can work beautifully. And I think it's a God thing. It's a God design. That's why it works so well when it's done right. Even if you already love him and you know you want to go on with this relationship, just you can learn a lot. Again, you can learn a lot about him before the first date as you watch him respond to these types of things. Something I want you to think about in this. There are some questions that you might have about a young man that are kind of man-to-man questions that would be a lot easier for your dad to ask him than for you to ask him later on. And it might be a lot more comfortable for him to answer them to the dad. You know, maybe things about his past that he knows are going to have to come out. And you know that if they're there, they're going to have to come out, but you don't really want to be the one to have to. That's a good time to take care of that and to get that past behind you. Get that skeleton out of the closet so that you can begin your relationship well. That's just one of the many benefits. God's design is so beautiful. But you know, ladies, you will really need a relationship with your father to go through this, won't you? It really is so much easier if you have a good communicating relationship with your dad before you come up to this point. So work on that. If you're young here today and you're a ways away from this, just really work on being able to share your feelings with your dad. And I've seen one relationship in particular that was an absolutely heartbreaking relationship between two people. It ended up in engagement, and then the engagement was broken off and it never worked. And one of the biggest problems I noticed in that relationship is that this young girl's father was not a believer and was not part of her life. She was not living at home because she followed the Lord and she left home and all of these things. But I think this courtship could have been would have been prevented or saved, one or the other, if there would have been a father there who would have been able to help the young girl see her heart and see what was going on inside of her, because we need help with that sometimes. We don't always know. So develop a good relationship with your father. A good father, there's such a thing as controlling fathers, and guys, I have a little point for you and a little bit on that. If the girl you want has a really controlling father, there is such a thing as over-controlling fathers. But a good father will guide, he will advise, he will reserve the right to say no if this is definitely a bad choice, if there's something major, he will reserve that right to say no, and the Scripture gives him that right. And I hope you ladies give him that right. I hope you want him to have that right. I hope you will let the Bible give him that right. But then, the father can guide, he can advise, but then he needs to gradually just phase out of this thing. And as he sees this is going to work, it's healthy, and he needs to just get out of the way. And there's a giving process that needs to happen. And ladies, you need to let go. You need to realize. And then the culmination of that is that beautiful little tear-jerking ceremony that you see, you know, when the father gives the bride away. But before that happens, there's kind of a gradual phasing out, because you're putting your hands into the hand of another. And you're going to spend your life under his authority. So hopefully that makes sense to you. Guys, what about controlling fathers? And it's very possible you might run into one, you know, where you really feel you're scared of the dad and you feel like he's just going to be part of your relationship and part of your courtship. And maybe you're even scared he's going to be part of your marriage. God forbid that shouldn't happen. And maybe you're tempted to bypass him. You know, you're just tempted to, because you know, and kind of a lot of other people know, this man is overbearing. And you're tempted just to bypass him. I want to encourage you, don't do that. Because if he really is controlling in that way, that's only going to make it worse. You might as well face it right up front and try to develop a relationship with him. Don't try to bypass him, because he'll feel very threatened by that. And maybe make it a lot harder for you. So seek to start on good terms. Develop a relationship with the lady's father. And even if he's an ungodly man, you know, if he doesn't hardly have any standards for his daughter, and still seek to develop a relationship. But there's something comforting, I think, to a girl if you're man enough to somehow be able to get along with her dad at some level and respect him and honor him for who he is. And the mother likewise. So now we kind of get through this, you know, we've got parental permission and we've noticed a few things and taken care of a few things, got some of the initial things out of the way, and the lights are still green. The lights are green. This is something I want you just to kind of keep in mind. You keep going as long as the lights are green. Don't run red lights in a courtship. If there's a red light up there, and there's a light, red light here, the red light here, you know how intersections are. Don't just go charging through those things. Take your time when you run into a red light. Doesn't always mean you have to stop forever. They might turn green again, but don't ignore red flags in a relationship. And one of the things I want you to remember is that I ran into this young man once who was really excited about this relationship and wanted to go forward. But as we were talking, and we were just talking and talking this over, you know, why do you like her? You know, why, and all, we discovered together that really the only light that was green in this situation was his emotions. That was the only green light. His parents' lights were red. His pastor's lights were red. It's just his brothers and sisters, you know, their opinion, the lights were red. There was just all kinds of other cautions and flags, but the emotions were just green. That's a bad way to start, okay? That's a very bad way to start. There's things that matter more than our emotions. We have to be thinking. We have to be that's why you keep your emotions in control, so that you can think and so that you can talk. So, but if the lights are all green, and not only the emotional ones, okay, you're all clear to start this drawing and winning process, right? Guys, this is fun. I wish I could just encourage you how much fun the winning process can be. I had fun in my courtship. It was fun to try to win my wife's affection, and she was not easy to win. She told me on our second date, we were out, and I was head over heels with her. I really, there was no other in my mind. I wanted this to work. I'm an intense kind of person, and I told her I love her. You know, I shook her hand and told her I love her right early on. You know, that's just who I was. But she told me on our second date, she wasn't really feeling good about our relationship on that day. That day was just kind of one of those days, you know. And she told me, she said, you know, she said, I'm really happy the way I am. I'm happy at home. I love my dad. I'm very secure at home. And she said, if you can't provide anything better than that, I don't know if I'm really interested in getting married right now. And she was testing me. You know, she knew what she was doing. I mean, she truly felt that way. She wasn't lying, but she was also testing me, just kind of, and that's okay. You should do that. But I loved that. You know, she was thinking I'd get all discouraged, and I was like, this is going to be fun. I'm going to try to get past this. I'm going to try to win this girl. You know, and I did. It was hard work, but it was fun. The process was fun. So don't get all in a wad. You know, just enjoy it. And I was prepared for a no. You know, I went into it realistically. I didn't know if she would say yes or not. And there was a little time there early on where I kind of expected I might get one. You know, and it would have been hard. But I'd have got over it. You know, we need to man up sometimes, guys. I don't like it when I see young men just go into an emotional mess for 6 months. After a simple no, we're going to have a lot of hard things in our life. We're going to have a lot of hard knocks. We're going to have a lot of rejections. You might start businesses and they fail. And, you know, if we're so vulnerable to failure, we need to be more secure than that. And I just want to encourage you with that. To be a secure person, don't be afraid of failure. So what to do now? How do you start this winning process? Well, you need time together. You need to figure out a way to make time together. You need to do things together. And you need to do something to resist the pressures of schedules, your busyness. Don't try to court when your life is just packed full and you can't get time off of work and you don't have any money to take off of work. And you don't have any money to travel places and do things with your... Get some of those things in order. You don't want a pressured courtship, a courtship that is pressured, that doesn't have any time or money to do things. You don't want the pressure of peers in your courtship. And I've seen couples who kind of felt like maybe if their courtship were... The beginning stages of their courtship were public, it would be a high-pressure situation for some reason. Just kind of do it quietly for a while. I think that's fine. That's sometimes necessary because the peer pressure of your friends can be very damaging on a courtship. You need to somehow make boundaries around this thing and just make a space, because love doesn't grow in pressure. I want to underline that. I want to emphasize that love does not grow under pressure. Just make boundaries with people's expectations and just set aside time. Love does not grow under pressure, guys. This especially you need to remember, because if you've been into this thing for quite a while, and maybe in this particular situation, it's kind of a new thought to her. She hasn't, you know, it isn't always that way, but sometimes it is. It's kind of a new thought to her. You need to give her a lot of space to kind of process. You had months to process, right? So you need to give her some space to process. Love doesn't grow under pressure. Remember the relationship bird. Right? Give some freedom. Have an open hand and let the chickadee land in your hand if it wants to. And take a couple of seeds and then fly up in the tree and look at you and sing again. A bird is not pretty on a string. Don't be suffocating. And you know, this continues right on into marriage. Right on into marriage. There's some guys that are just so suffocating. Their love is suffocating. And girls don't want that. That isn't, love doesn't grow for them in that kind of atmosphere. Even after marriage, you know. Even after marriage, just court her. Courtship goes right on into marriage. You can't just court and now I've got her married and now she's supposed to submit to me and now we're going to go. That doesn't work. This is about a relationship. Just remember, marriage is temporary and someday this bird's going to fly away for good. But you say, the Bible says she should submit after she's married. It does. It does say she should submit. But that's her side of the raft. Your side of the raft is to love her. And you stay on your side of the raft and let her stay on her side of the raft, okay? Don't apply her scriptures to her. You let God apply her scriptures to her and you do your part. If you're on your raft and she's here honoring you and all of this stuff, but you get over here and you get over on her side of the raft's going to flip. Okay, marriages flip for those reasons. So some things that men need to learn sometimes. Many marriage habits are actually started in courtship. Bad marriage habits and good ones. So you need time. Time doing what? You need to talk. You need to do things. Don't just talk. Do things together too. I would encourage that, especially early on. It's sometimes healthy. You know, as you're kind of getting to know each other, it's healthy to do things. I know because I was so intense, you know, and my wife was learning to get to know me. It was a new thought to her. And, you know, she really appreciated when we would just go. Most of our date was spent doing something other than sitting down face to face, talking, you know, early on. That was a real blessing for her because it kind of gave her a way to get to know me without having to share the deepest part of her heart because she wasn't ready to share the deepest part of her heart yet. She just wanted to figure out who I am. So we had a lot of fun. We rode horses a lot together. We went canoeing and just different things. We went and did things with the youth group, you know. That was fun together just in a casual setting. So do things together, but you do need to talk. Be creative in doing things at first. If you don't know each other well, it might even be helpful partways into the relationship to go on a missions trip together. You know, there is a different environment where you can get to kind of know each other. I know my wife, she really appreciated, I would go up to her most of the time, but she appreciated coming into my home. We live 7 hours apart, coming to my church, to my youth group, and seeing my world. She wanted to see my world and see how I relate in my world. So go different places and those types of things. And then you need to spend time talking. What do you talk about? Well, you got to introduce yourself to each other. Again, this varies depending if you grew up together and you already know each other very well. That's a beautiful thing when that happens. Maybe you went to school together. You grew up in the same youth group and, you know each other pretty well. Those relationships are off to a faster start. They can usually go faster. But if you don't have that history, that background with each other, you need to introduce yourself. Don't wait long to get the skeletons out of the closet and put in their place. But you do need to get them out. You do need to get them out. It is absolutely unfair for you to be 3 months into a courtship and all of a sudden some nasty thing about your past, you start sharing. Don't do that. Okay, I think it was on our second or third date, we were out on a lake in a kayak and we just shared our hearts. We shared about our previous relationships and you know, the other people that we liked or that liked us and were, you know, she had been asked before and you know, just those, it's hard to do, but you have to realize that now's the time to do it. That your weaknesses, you know, your things that you've struggled with, maybe some, it would be good to share some of those things. And again, like I mentioned, the deeper sin issues, it's nice to have taken care of with Dad, but early on, talk about these things. Don't touch each other. Why? So that you can talk. there's something about when you begin to touch each other, it's really hard to talk because the emotion and the excitement takes over. It's exciting, you know. It's crazy what happens to you when you're sitting close. And you know, I remember one specific time we were sitting in a vehicle in the back seat waiting to go somewhere, and we were waiting on the driver, and we were sitting in the back, and she just took a pillow and laid it on me and then laid against me, and wow, this is amazing, you know. But if you it scared me a little bit, you know, it was kind of pushing. There was a pillow there, you know, she was just leaning against my shoulder, but that it was exciting. But you realize that now you're embarrassing me. But don't just remember that you need to communicate. You need to talk a lot. And once you start touching, it's going to be very difficult to be thorough in talking. Those sheets I handed out, those are good things for you to talk about. That could be a primer. You should communicate. And if you run across a partner that can't communicate, then you need to think about that. You need to think about, why can I not communicate with this person? Because marriage requires a lot of communication, and I would not advise anyone to marry someone you can't communicate with on a deep level. You feel like you're not connecting, and don't marry somebody like that. And it's a lot easier to say no to them if your romantic feelings have been kept in check. Don't rush the courtship. Thorough courtships give your marriage a stronger start. Don't rush the courtship. Don't rush it. Enjoy it. Take time to enjoy it. How long? That really varies. It really varies. Depends how well you know each other, and depends how complicated you are. Some people are more simple than others. They don't make things so complicated. But I don't think it's a bad idea to have a year. I know one family who they require, or they used to. They have a lot of children, and they kind of used to require that it would be about a year. And I've watched their courtships, and they seem to have very healthy courtships and very healthy relationships after marriage because of that, because they don't rush it. But there's exceptions. Keep your emotions in their place, especially early on. I would encourage you to not touch each other any more than you would any other boy or girl. You know, it's not wrong to shake hands. And I'm just going to be honest with you. I don't like the way some of our youth groups give sideways hugs. I think that's a bad idea. And like I said, I'm going to give you my advice. I'm going to tell you exactly how I think. I think that's a bad idea. I'm sure it's a bad idea in courtship. And I think it would be good for you to think about drawing the line at a safe place that is safe for courtship, safe for relationships, and all of those types of things. You might not agree with me, but I'll just throw that out to you. What about a hands-off courtship? This is a kind of a sensitive subject. Depends where you go. I don't know exactly where you're at with it. I do know there's a little bit of a reaction going on. And I've learned that when there's a reaction and you want to help the reaction, it doesn't help the reaction to pound the reaction. Okay, so I'm not going to pound you on this subject. But I do feel very strongly, I'm completely convinced about it. And I would like to convince you. I don't know if I can do that. I don't know how I could do that. But I'd like to convince you that it is the way to go. If there were a movement among pastors not to marry couples who don't keep hands off, I would be very, very tempted to join it. That's how strongly I feel about it. I've been very tempted to tell our youth that, you know, well before they start. You don't do something like that in the middle of a courtship and suddenly the whole church knows it's because of this courtship. But say there's no courtships going on in our church. Just so you know, guys, this is where I'm at, and I'm not going to marry you if you don't have a hands-off courtship. Why? Because it's absolutely sin to do it. It goes back to what we were talking about in our first message, doesn't it? Do we want the leftovers of boiling down everything? Well, I haven't done that. I haven't done that. Probably because I end up developing a relationship. And I probably have a hard time saying no anyways, and I care about them. But I think it's a mistake. I really think it's a mistake. I haven't met a couple with marriage problems because of it. There may be a few reacting couples who would give you advice against it. But I advise you to check a little deeper before you just swallow that advice. There's something else going on there, I suggest to you. I haven't met couples with marriage problems because they didn't touch each other. But there is a lot, but the opposite isn't true. You know that, I know that. There's a lot of couples who have had problems because of it. Again, the most basic thing is, of course, not falling into sin. But it's a lot deeper than that. It has to do with this whole building a relationship based on communication. And when you touch, you don't talk. You just don't talk the way you're supposed to. Keep the fire in the hearth. Fire is nice in its place. Save it for the first time. Just remember, there'll never be another time when you hug a woman or hug a man for the first time. There's only one first time. There's only one first kiss. And it's awesome. It's fun. Save it for the right time. Make absolutely sure where this is going. Especially before engagement, have a hands-off courtship. I would encourage it after engagement also, but especially before engagement. But the reason I encourage it for the whole way through up until marriage is this. It's because our view of engagement is not very tight, in case you've noticed. There have been some heartbreakers over the last 5 to 10 years. And I would not want to have had a hands-on relationship. When I'm talking about hands-on, I'm talking about things like hugging and you know, sitting too close and holding each other and things like that. I'm not talking about shaking hands when you say hi. I think you know that. But our view of engagement, when it comes right down to it, as much as we like to be idealistic and say that this is an absolute commitment to marriage, it isn't in our culture. If it were, then we would forbid people to marry after they break off an engagement, right? And we don't do that when it comes right down to it. We hurt, we grieve, everybody's hurting, but they go on and get married to someone else. And we don't condemn them for that. We say that's fine. So we need to just be honest with what engagement is in our culture. In some cultures, it's different. And I think in the Bible, it was different. But we don't view it that way. So we need to be careful, you know, going into an engagement. Okay, now I'm engaged, so I'm sure I'm going to get married. Well, that hasn't always been the case. All right, going on. When do you know it's safe to pop the question, guys? The marry me. Will you marry me? I would say that when you're certain she feels safe to answer. When you're certain that she feels safe to say yes, to answer it. Don't ask her to marry you unless you feel. And how are you going to know that? Well, by that time, you'll know each other. You'll know where you're at. You'll have a communication going. And if you don't, then I would suggest you're not ready for that yet. You're not ready. Something's not quite thorough. I would venture to say, summing this up, that any couple that takes a year of time doing things together, keeping their hands off, their emotions in control, and deeply, slowly answering the questions, not just these are just a primer, but deeply and slowly, over time, answering these questions, and is still truly in love. After all of that, while under no obligation, they're not being forced or pressured, they're safe to get married. If in any of these stages you hit a wall or a sea of red flags, you come up against some red lights, just stop. Just stop. Even if it's an engagement, stop. Don't ram this thing through. Doesn't mean you have to quit altogether, but there's something not right. Take your time. Be humble enough to take your time. Don't let other people's expectations, even your parents, your peers, don't let them make you do something. Get into this relationship if there's something not running right. Get some counsel, get some advice. Many times you can work it through, but just give a little space. And if you can't work it out, then just release each other and go on. And then you come to the point, but God, I thought, you know, I've talked to young men like this. I prayed. I loved this girl for 7 years. She finally said yes. We had a courtship. We had an engagement. And it broke off. Where is God in that? You know, and that is a tremendous test of faith. I've cried with more than one heartbreak. But I've watched God work these things out beautifully, though it seems like your world's crashing in at that point. I watched one young man with a from our congregation whose courtship didn't work, and it was a tough one. It was broken off during engagement by one email without any further communication allowed. He came to me on a Thursday and shared his heart, and we talked and we cried. And this is a good young man. It was a good young girl. This was a good couple as far as individuals go. And he shared his heart on Thursday, and he didn't really tell anybody else, you know, for the next couple of days. He was processing it. But he was scheduled to lead worship on Sunday morning in our church. And he got up, and most people didn't know it, but I knew it, and I was sitting over there in a corner, and I watched him lead us in worship. And he worshiped. And I said, now there's a man. There's a strong, godly young man. And he was heartbroken, but he got over it. And he's happily married today. And God has a way of rewriting the plans. You know, I talk to people who start a relationship and it doesn't work. And they ask me this question. So now is everything after this going to be second best? You know, girls, you might be the third person a guy has tried to have a relationship with, and you might be tempted to feel, am I the third best in his mind? You know, you wrestle with those things. Those are realities. But I would like to encourage you with this thought, that there is no such thing as second best when God makes a new plan. We live in a fallen world, and God has been rewriting. Who says the first one was the first best? Because what about your parents? Who says they were the first best? And who says their parents? You see what I'm getting at? The whole world is filled with imperfection. And our God has a way of making a plan in spite of that imperfection. And it's a good one. It's a good one. I worship Him when I see that. There's no such thing as a dead end with our God. There is no such thing as a dead end with the God of heaven. He can make beauty out of ashes, and it is beauty. And I've started to encourage young men and women who go through a broken relationship to say, there is coming a day when you will be married and you will be happy that it didn't work out. And they look at you like, but you know, it's true. And it's true because God makes another new plan. God's able to push reset buttons on any situation. I don't care how bad it is. God is good at making a reset. And we need to love Him for that and worship Him for that. God will make a way for you. I hope you have that faith. God will make a way through this life for me. He's with me. He'll make a way, not just in marriage, but in everything. He makes ways for us. The Bible says, the just shall live by his faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. And how does this walk work? It walks one step at a time as the principles and the truth of God illuminate the next step. It won't show you all the way to the door, maybe, but it'll show you the next step. So it's your choice. You have to take that step. God's not going to force you. He doesn't want that kind of relationship. You just have to make up your mind to walk in the steps God puts before you. Courtship often ends up being a young person's biggest test of faith so far. Courtship requires faith. It requires a walk with God. It is a walk of faith, and many times it feels like a leap of faith. But it is usually a young person's biggest test so far. But there's more tests coming, and I just encourage you to have faith in your life in general, that God will guide you through your whole life. If He has marriage for you, He will guide you in this. And I think we'll open up for maybe some questions. Maybe you disagree with something I said. I'm very open to that. That's fine. Anything you want to talk about before we close? Hopefully you have received some tools, some ideas that you can work with, some thoughts, some truth that you can build on, something that will be practical in your life. That was my goal. Not to tell you how to do everything, but just to give you some truths and some principles that you could use that would be useful for you. Go ahead.
What is the difference between a trembling confidence in the unknown and a wrong kind of fear? There's always going to be that trepidation. There's always going to be that second guessing, flutters, your heart's not beating.
Fear is paralyzing. When you're in a place where you're stuck and you can't move, then you're bound in fear. Fear is paralyzing. But there is nervousness in faith, of course, absolutely. Don't give in to fear. Fear is a terrible thing. It has bondage, torment, the Bible says. Any others? I've enjoyed the text questions. Very good questions that make me think deep and make me really scratch my head. And they're fun. Yeah.
Some that's definitely a huge tool and is something directly from God is our parents. Through questions growing up when you first start thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
And their job is to teach you. So before you even get to the point, you know what to do. You know what? I'm not necessarily details of a specific particular situation, but and even through that, every step of the way, I am blessed with extremely wise parents who are immense blessings to me. I just encourage everybody to don't ignore them. Seek their wisdom. They've gone through it.
If you don't have godly parents, or you have parents that are just simply not walking in the will of the Lord, go to some other godly people who have experience and talk with them. You might need to have some of that. Yeah. Any others? Okay. Go ahead, we heard something over here. You're welcome. In Jesus' name. Anybody else?
I just wanted to add something to that about parents, even if they're not godly. I've found that, some of you know about my dad, but I've found that I can still, it's not necessarily like I take his counsel as final word, I would say, but I still pay attention to it because, you know, he's my mm-hmm. dad, and, you know, we're more similar than most other people, you know,
right.
than I am to most other people.
Right.
So he can give me advice that I can take and hold it there and then see what other people.
Yeah. Okay.